GFSN Podcast Radio. Welcome to a special episode of Farm Talk with Leland and Olivia. Today we are going to deep dive into the world of traditional farming and organic farming. We will discuss how they affect the world around us, their pros and cons, market conditions, and so much more. These real-world pressures, processes, and market demands help guide how we operate here in our virtual community, so settle in for lots of great conversation and music.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to dig into something pretty essential to all of us, food. We're talking about how it gets to our plates. Specifically, we're diving into the differences between traditional and organic farming. And I know you're particularly interested in those yields, how much food each method produces, and the chemicals involved. Ready to get our hands a little dirty? Figuratively, of course.
Absolutely. It's a really interesting topic with some significant trade-offs to think about. We hear so much about the benefits of organic food, but what does that actually mean for the farmers growing it, and how much food are we actually able to produce using those methods? Let's dig in and find out.
Okay, so let's start with traditional farming. That's what a lot of us grew up with, right? But I think a lot of us don't really know what's going on with all those fertilizers and chemicals. Why are they so widely used?
Well, you can think of it this way. Traditional farming often takes a targeted approach, trying to give plants exactly the nutrient boost they need, like nitrogen, super important for leafy green growth. Then you've got things like phosphates. They're great for strong roots and making sure those flowers are looking good. And we can't forget about potassium. That helps plants use water efficiently and even helps them fight off diseases.
So it's kind of like giving our crops a special blend of vitamins tailored just for them. Makes sense. But it's not just the fertilizers, right? I know our sources mentioned some other chemicals, herbicides like Roundup, insecticides, even growth regulators. That all sounds kind of intense, to be honest.
It's true. Those chemicals are pretty important for protecting crops from pests and diseases that can really impact how much food farmers can grow. At the end of the day, they're trying to make sure there's enough food for everyone. But of course, we have to think about the downsides too, especially for the environment and the people who work with those chemicals every day. The farmers themselves.
Yeah, that's what really struck me when I was doing research for this, the potential health risk for farmers. Our source mentioned respiratory problems, some nasty skin conditions, even some scary stuff like neurological issues and cancer. It's a lot to think about.
It really is. And these are very real concerns. That's why there's a big push right now to find safer alternatives. For example, there's some promising research happening right now with biopesticides, which are derived from natural sources like plants and bacteria. These could be a game changer for pest control with hopefully fewer toxic effects.
So that's traditional farming in a nutshell. Precise nutrients and pest control that helps produce a lot of food, but with some potential costs for the environment and the people growing it. So let's switch gears for a minute and talk about organic farming. It sounds almost more in tune with nature.
It definitely aims to be. Instead of relying on those synthetic fertilizers and pesticides we talk about, organic farming is all about creating really healthy soil. It's kind of like giving your garden the royal treatment, you know. The compost, manure, other natural materials that break down slowly over time and release their nutrients. It's a slower, more natural approach.
That idea of treating the soil like a living ecosystem rather than just something to be managed. It's like a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And if we're not using chemical pesticides in organic farming, how do they deal with pests?
Things have to eat. Right. And it's definitely not as easy as just spraying something. Organic farmers have to be much more proactive and strategic in the way they manage their crops. Crop rotation is a big one, kind of like mixing up what you're growing every year so the pests don't get too comfortable. They also rely on things like beneficial insects, good bugs that eat the bad bugs, and using physical barriers and traps. It's definitely more hands-on.
Sounds like there are no quick fixes in organic farming. It does seem like it might be easier on the environment and the farmers, though, right? But that brings up another important question. How do the yields actually compare between these two approaches?
Ah, yes, the million-dollar question. And that's exactly where we start to see some of the big trade-offs between traditional and organic farming.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Deakin Financial Bank. Comprehensive financing and farm advisory solutions that go beyond traditional rural financing to meet the dynamic needs of farmers and landowners. Flexible financing for when you need it most, Our straightforward, collateral-focused approach to lending allows us to leverage the strengths of your operation and the equity in your land to create a custom solution that evolves with you. Deacon Financial Bank, a partner you can trust.
Back, and before the break, we were really digging into those trade-offs between traditional and organic farming, especially when it comes to how much food each method can actually produce. Does traditional farming, with all of its synthetic fertilizers and pest control, always come out on top? What do you think?
It's definitely a common assumption, and to be honest, it's often right. Those chemical inputs in traditional farming can lead to larger harvests, which is a pretty big deal when we think about having enough food for everyone.
That makes sense. So, does that mean organic farming just can't keep up? Is that the trade-off, doing what's better for the environment and farmers, but maybe not having enough food to go around?
It's not quite that black and white.
Yeah.
It's true that organic yields can sometimes be lower, but there are a lot of factors at play here. The difference in yields can actually change quite a bit, depending on what crop we're talking about and the specific techniques each farmer is using.
Okay, so it's not as simple as saying one method always produces more food than the other. But when there are differences in those yields, what are some of the things that might be contributing to that gap?
Well, think back to what we were talking about earlier. Organic farming relies on those natural processes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those can sometimes be a little slower and a bit less predictable than using something synthetic. Like when you think about fertilizers, organic fertilizers release their nutrients gradually as they decompose, whereas synthetic fertilizers act much more quickly.
So it's like the difference between giving your crops slow-release vitamins versus a shot of espresso.
Uh-huh, exactly. Plus, those organic farming practices we were talking about, crop rotation, beneficial insects, those often require more time and effort than just applying a chemical spray. It can be a lot more labor-intensive.
It sounds like organic farming really requires a lot of planning and patience. It's definitely a different approach, but with the possibility of those lower yields, is there a real concern that we just couldn't feed everyone on the planet with organic farming alone?
It's a big question. And honestly, there's no simple answer. There are a lot of different perspectives on this. Some experts believe we really need to double down on optimizing traditional farming practices, figuring out how to get the most food out of the land we have while using fewer resources and minimizing those negative impacts.
So trying to find ways to make traditional farming more efficient and sustainable.
Exactly, like maybe reducing our reliance on some of those potentially harmful chemicals or coming up with new farming techniques that create less waste and have a smaller environmental footprint. On the flip side, there are a lot of people who believe that shifting towards more sustainable practices in general, like organic and regenerative farming, is crucial, even if it means we might see slightly lower yields in the short term.
It's a tough balancing act, for sure. It seems like no matter which way you look at it, traditional or organic farmers are right there on the front lines of this. They're the ones dealing with the realities of growing our food every single day.
And as we talked about earlier, those realities can sometimes include some serious health risks, especially for farmers working with those chemical fertilizers and pesticides.
It really makes you appreciate just how important it is to protect the people who are putting food on our tables. So, knowing all of this now, what are some practical things we can do to better support farmers and their well-being, whether they're farming traditionally or organically?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's not just about finding one magic solution. It's going to take a multi-pronged approach to really make a difference.
So no magic bullet, more like a whole toolkit of different approaches. What would those look like?
Exactly. For starters, we absolutely need to push for better safety regulations and protections for farmers who work with any kind of chemical that could be harmful. Things like making sure they have access to the right protective gear, that they're getting proper training on how to handle these chemicals safely, and that those regulations are actually being enforced.
So making sure farmers have the knowledge and the tools they need to protect themselves.
Yes. But it goes beyond that, too. What if we could come up with solutions that are just as effective at controlling pests and improving yields, but are much safer for everyone involved? That's why investing in research and development of new, safer alternatives to things like pesticides and herbicides is so crucial. We need to keep innovating.
Finding those win-win solutions, good for people and good for the planet.
I love that. And it's not just about technology and regulations either. We can also directly support farmers who are already trying to transition to more sustainable practices, maybe by creating financial incentives that make it easier to make those changes, or providing technical assistance and making sure they have access to the latest research on things like organic and regenerative farming.
It sounds like creating a more sustainable and equitable food system really requires everyone to be on board, right? Policymakers, scientists, consumers, and of course, the farmers themselves.
Absolutely. And it all starts with recognizing and valuing the vital role that farmers play. We can't just focus on how much food is being produced. We also need to prioritize the health and well-being of the people who are growing it.
Finding that balance between taking care of people and taking care of the planet. It seems like there's definitely more awareness of these issues these days, this desire to be more thoughtful about the food choices we make. But with all this information swirling around, what are some things we should keep in mind when we're actually at the grocery store trying to make good choices for ourselves, for farmers, and for the planet? How do we navigate all of this?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's one we'll dive into head first when we come back.
Okay, so it's time for the final part of our deep dive. We've talked a lot about traditional farming, organic farming, the good, the bad, and everything in between. But now I want to bring it back to the shoppers. When we're at the grocery store, standing in front of all that produce, What are some things we should be thinking about?
It's all about making informed choices as a consumer, right? And the good news is you don't need to be an agricultural expert to make good decisions. It's really about understanding those trade-offs we've been talking about and figuring out what's most important to you. There's no right or wrong answer here.
I like that. No judgment at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So let's break down those trade-offs. We've talked about the impact on farmers themselves. What should we be thinking about in terms of supporting farmers' health and well-being?
Well, we've learned that some of the chemicals used in traditional farming, if farmers are exposed to them over long periods, can lead to some serious health problems.
So if I'm concerned about that, does that mean buying organic is always the best way to support farmers?
It's definitely one of the things to think about. You're right. Organic farming generally means fewer of those potentially harmful chemicals. But it's important to remember that there are still some pesticides that are allowed in organic farming. And even natural substances can sometimes have unexpected consequences.
Right. It's nature. Okay. So maybe it's more complicated than just looking for a specific label. What about the environmental impact? Is it safe to say that organic is better for the planet?
Overall, yeah, organic farming does tend to have a lighter footprint on the environment. Avoiding those synthetic fertilizers is huge.
Mm.
They can really do a number on our water systems. And actually, they can even damage the soil in the long run if they're overused.
So we've talked about farmers and we've talked about the environment. But let's be real, a lot of us are on a budget when we go grocery shopping, and organic food can be more expensive.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a real barrier for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The higher price tag often comes down to those yield variations we discussed. Because organic farming can be less efficient sometimes, at least in terms of how much food is produced, those costs get passed along to the consumer.
It's like this dilemma, wanting to do what we know is best, but also needing to be realistic about our grocery bills. Is there any way around that? Or are we stuck choosing between our values and our wallets?
That's such a good question because it highlights something really important. There's a whole lot of space between conventional farming and 100% organic. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
You're talking about all those hybrid approaches we're hearing more about, like somewhere in between traditional and organic.
Exactly. A lot of farmers are finding creative ways to blend the best of both worlds. So maybe they'll use some targeted synthetic fertilizers, but then use organic methods to manage pests. Or maybe they're really focused on cover cropping to build up their soil, even if they're not following every single organic guideline. It's all about figuring out what works best for their land and their situation.
So there's actually a lot of innovation happening right now in farming, which is exciting. But if I'm understanding you correctly, it's not just about choosing a label organic versus non-organic,
sure,
but really understanding the practices behind our food no matter where we're shopping.
That's it. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you're at the farmer's market, have a conversation with the people growing your food. Do a little research online before you head to the grocery store. Every choice we make, every apple, every carton of milk is like a vote for the kind of food system we want to support.
That's a powerful way to think about it. I love that. Our food choices really do matter. This whole conversation has been so insightful. It's clear that feeding the planet and taking care of the people who grow our food is complex. But I think the biggest takeaway is that if we're curious and we keep asking questions, we can make choices that align with our values.
100%. Knowledge is power.
Yep.
And the more we know about where our food comes from and how it's grown, the better decisions we can make.
Well, thank you so much for digging into this with me. This has given us a lot to think about.
GFSN Podcast Radio. Now that we have a general idea of the issues affecting both traditional farming and organic farming, let's go another level deeper. Let's listen and ask Leland and Olivia examine the pros and cons of both approaches to soil management techniques.
Everyone, welcome back. We're about to dig deep, get our hands dirty, so to speak, with organic and traditional farming.
Literally down to the dirt. The soil, I mean.
Exactly. Because it's more than just organic labels at the store, right? It's like whole different philosophies of how we treat the land that, let's be honest, keeps us all fed up.
And that's what's so fascinating about this deep dive, you know? It's not just what we eat, but the health of the planet, the environment, big picture stuff.
Huge. Okay, so picture this. Giant field of corn, maybe soybeans, that classic image, that's traditional farming, right?
Yeah.
Super efficient, all about getting those big yields to, well, feed everyone.
Exactly. And to do that, they rely heavily on synthetic fertilizers. Basically, think of it like instant plant food.
Okay, makes sense.
And alongside that, you got the pesticides. Got to keep those bugs and weeds in check if you want those huge harvests.
Right, right. And let's not forget, these farms are huge EE. Need some serious machinery to handle all that.
Oh, absolutely. Tractors, plows, the whole works. Efficiency is key.
But like anything, there's always another side to the coin. What are the downsides here? With traditional farming, I mean...
That's where it gets interesting. While this model, you know, it's been incredibly successful at upping food production, there are growing concerns about the long-term effects.
Like what?
Well, for starters, becoming too reliant on those synthetic fertilizers, it's a bit like eating fast food every day. Sure, it fills you up, but it's not exactly giving you the best nutrition long-term.
Interesting. So are you saying we're basically stripping the soil, making it weaker over time?
In a nutshell, yeah. Those synthetic fertilizers, they could deplete the soil of essential nutrients and organic matter. It's not sustainable.
So it's kind of a vicious cycle then.
It can be. And it's not just the soil we have to think about.
Right, because what happens to all those chemicals, the fertilizers and pesticides, when they, you know, rain comes, irrigation?
Runoff. That's the big one. Those chemicals can easily end up in our water systems, rivers, lakes, the whole deal. And that obviously has a ripple effect.
Harming wildlife, water quality. That's scary.
It's a serious concern. We're talking about things like atrazine, a common herbicide. Studies have linked it to, for instance, birth defects in amphibians.
Wow, I had no idea it was that serious.
The big deal. And there's even research suggesting it might mess with human hormones, too.
Okay, that's definitely something to think about. So the convenience, the efficiency of traditional farming, it seems like there's a hidden cost.
There can be, yeah.
Okay, so let's switch gears. What about the opposite, then, organic soil management? This is all about working with nature, right? Not against it.
It's a much more holistic approach, for sure. The focus is on the long-term health of the soil, not just the immediate yield.
I like that. Okay, break it down for me. What does that actually look like on an organic farm?
Well, instead of those synthetic fertilizers, you're going to see things like compost, manure, all natural stuff.
So it's about replenishing the soil naturally.
Exactly. There's also this really cool technique called green manure. Basically, after harvesting, they might plant a field with legumes.
Legumes, like beans and lentils.
You got it. And get this, legumes are nitrogen fixers.
Nitrogen fixers. Sounds kind of sci-fi, but I like it.
Right. What happens is they pull nitrogen from the air and store it in their roots, which then fertilizes the soil naturally when they decompose.
So it's like this amazing natural cycle.
Yeah.
Way better than some... chemical concoction.
Right. And because healthy soil is naturally more resistant to pests and diseases, organic farmers will often use things like crop rotation, intercropping. There is working with nature's defenses.
Give me an example. How do they do that?
Imagine rows of marigolds planted alongside tomatoes. The marigolds naturally repel certain insects that bug, literally, tomato plants.
So no need for pesticides. That's clever.
Nature's pretty smart like that, right?
It's like they're working smarter, not harder. Using nature to their advantage. I dig it. What about tilling? That's pretty standard in farming, right? Turning over the soil. Do organic farms do that too?
Well, it's another area where things get interesting. Traditional farming, they love their tilling. Helps control weeds. Gets the field ready for planting.
Makes sense.
But organic farmers, they often try to minimize that. Some even go completely no-till.
So less disruption to the soil.
Exactly. Think about it. Soil's not just dirt, right? It's this whole ecosystem, teeming with life, earthworms, bacteria, fungi, you name it.
It's like a whole world down there.
Right. And these tiny critters, they're the ones who make it all work. They break down organic matter, cycle nutrients, keep the soil healthy and fertile. It's amazing.
Who knew dirt was so cool?
Right. But when you till too much, it disrupts that whole delicate balance.
Ah, so it's like we're messing with their groove.
Welcome to Mountain View Pub, located in Green Mountain. We invite you to experience the true spirit of Irish hospitality. Nestled on the shoreline of Green Mountain Lake, our authentic Irish pub offers a warm and welcoming atmosphere that's perfect for any occasion. With our rich Irish heritage, a wide range of meticulously crafted drinks, and a menu bursting with traditional Irish flavors and contemporary twists, you're guaranteed an unforgettable experience. Mountain View Pub. May your glass be ever full. May the roof over your head be always strong. And may you be in heaven half an hour before the devil knows you're dead.
But with all these benefits, why isn't everyone jumping on the organic bandwagon? There's got to be some downsides, right?
There are always challenges for sure. One big one is the perception that organic farming can't produce enough food to, you know, feed the world.
Yeah, that's a big concern.
Right. And it's true. Sometimes yields can be a bit lower, especially in the beginning when farms are first transitioning to organic practices. But there's a lot of innovation happening in the organic world, new techniques, technologies. They're closing that yield gap all the time.
That's good to hear, because we got to feed everyone, right?
Absolutely. And then there's the cost factor.
Yeah, because organic food, it's always more expensive, right? At least that's what it seems like.
It's a common concern, and there are a few reasons for it. Organic farming can be more labor intensive. You know, without those chemical herbicides, there's more manual labor involved.
Yeah, makes sense. Someone's got to pull those weeds.
Exactly. And that obviously impacts the cost. Plus, organic fertilizers, they might not be as readily available or as consistent in their nutrients as those synthetic ones. So farmers, they have to be more on top of things, soil testing, careful planning, all that.
So it's more hands-on, more in tune with the land. That actually sounds kind of nice.
It has its rewards,
okay.
For sure.
It's a trade-off, I guess. Like, yeah, it costs more, but you're getting something, well, better for you, better for the planet. It's not as simple as just picking a side, though, is it? Didn't we talk about integrated farming systems?
Yeah. More and more, that's what you're seeing. It's not organic versus traditional anymore. It's more like taking the best of both worlds, you know?
So like a hybrid approach. Give me an example. What would that look like on a farm?
Okay, so imagine a farmer is using cover crops. Like say during the off season, they plant those nitrogen fixing legumes we were talking about.
Sure.
Right? Reduces the need for synthetic fertilizers. And at the same time, maybe they're using like super precise technology to monitor their soil. So if they do need to use fertilizer or even pesticides, it's targeted, only where it's absolutely needed.
So much less waste.
Exactly. It's all about being efficient and ED sustainable.
I love that. Okay, but let's bring it back to us regular folks. You know, walk through the grocery store, trying to make good choices. It can be overwhelming. How do we even know what to buy?
You're telling me. There are so many labels, so much information. It's easy to feel lost, honestly. Don't be afraid to just ask questions. Go to your local farmer's market. Talk to the people growing your food. That's huge.
That's so true. Get to know where your food actually comes from.
Right. But yeah, back to the grocery store. Definitely read those labels. The USDA organic seal, that's a good one. Means it meets certain standards.
Okay. Good to know.
But keep in mind, organic isn't the only way to be sustainable. Some farms might be doing great things, but they can't afford the certification or whatever. Do a little research. Support local when you can. It's all about finding what aligns with, you know, what you feel good about.
Exactly. Progress over perfection.
100%. Every little bit helps.
Okay. So as we wrap up this awesome deep dive into, well, dirt, what's the one thing you hope people take away from this?
That our food choices, they matter. Whether you're growing it, buying it, eating it, it all has an impact on the environment, our communities, even just our own health.
So true. Food connects us all.
It really does. It's something we all need to be more mindful of.
I love that. Food for thought, right?
Today's podcast is sponsored by Doko Chemical, a leader in crop solutions specializing in active ingredient production, agrochemical adjuvants, and fertilizer stabilizers. We help farmers face the challenges of feeding a growing global population amid water scarcity issues, shrinking land nutrients, and ever-changing harvesting periods that definitely have nothing to do with global warming. Whether it's carbitol solvent, liquid nitrogen, glyphosate, or even anhydrous ammonia, we can help. Doko Chemical lets you do great things.
Welcome to a deep dive, you guys, into the world of pest control. We're going to take a look at how farmers keep those fruits and veggies coming. You know, the ones we all love. While doing their best to minimize environmental impact. It's a tough balance. And a question we get all the time from listeners, they really want to understand how it all works. Traditional and organic approaches. It's kind of like, how do I put it? Comparing a full-on battle plan to, well, setting up a buffet for nature's pest control crew, you know? Speaking of pests, let's meet the usual suspects. We've got our insects, aphids, those caterpillars, always the caterpillars, white flies.
Yeah.
They always seem to find my garden, too.
Oh, and don't forget the ones you don't see coming. Microscopic mites. Those guys are tiny, but they can really do some damage.
Can't believe how much damage something that small can actually do.
Right, and that's what makes pest control such a real challenge. Some of these critters, they're so hard to manage. Take nematodes, for instance.
Nematodes, those are...
These microscopic roundworms live in the soil, and they just go to town on plant roots. Underground, tiny, incredibly difficult to even target those. And if you leave them unchecked, forget it. They can wipe out a whole crop.
It's like fighting an invisible enemy. Wow.
Exactly. And for the longest time, the weapon of choice has been, you know, chemical pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, you name it.
The whole shebang. But, you know... Before we even get into the environmental concerns, I think we got to understand how these methods became like the go-to in the first place, right?
Yeah, absolutely. To feed, millions of people, farmers need reliable ways to protect what they grow. And traditional pesticides, sure, there are drawbacks, but they've given that consistency for decades.
Yeah.
Really effective at getting rid of pests, higher yields, predictable harvests, you know the deal.
So it's this trade-off then, effectiveness versus the potential impact on everything else.
Exactly. And as we're learning more about the long-term effects of some of these chemicals, there's this big push for more, you know, sustainable solutions. But even within the traditional methods, it's not so black and white. Like, look at neonicotinoids.
Neonicotinoids.
Designed to go after the nervous systems of insects. Yeah. Super effective.
But those are the ones that are, like, at the center of that whole bee debate, right?
Exactly. They work great for pests, but they've come under a lot of scrutiny for, you know, potentially harming beneficial insects, especially pollinators. Like, our bees, it's a huge deal. It's this a whole debate about whether we need more targeted approaches, something that lowers the risk to these crucial species.
Yeah, it really makes you think about the whole picture, you know? Like, even when we're trying to do the right thing, there can be these ripple effects. But that's where organic pest control comes in, right? Working with nature, not against it.
Absolutely. And it's more powerful than people realize. It's not just, you know, tossing ladybugs into a field and hoping for the best.
No, way more strategic. Like, what about companion planting? I've tried that in my own garden, but to think about it on a bigger scale, that's fascinating.
It's a perfect example. You're using ecological principles to your advantage. Remember those nematodes we talked about, the root destroyers?
Yeah.
One way to deal with them, plant marigolds. Yeah. Right alongside your vulnerable crop.
Marigolds, those cheerful...
Those guys.
Yeah.
They release this compound into the soil naturally, and it messes with the nematodes. Kills some, repels others, it's great.
So it's like a built-in deterrent then. No harsh chemicals needed.
Exactly. And the cool thing about companion planting is you often get bonus benefits. Could attract good insects, improve your soil, even make your crops tastier. And it works in this really interesting way. Neem oil has compounds that mess with insect hormones.
Hormones, okay.
Yeah, so it can stop them from feeding, mating, laying eggs. Basically throws a wrench in their whole life cycle.
So you're not just killing what's there, you're stopping future generations.
Exactly. And a big plus, neem oil is generally safe for the good insects in the environment. Way more targeted than your typical insecticide.
That is a relief to hear.
Today's podcast brought to you in part by We Say So Trucking. A, It's Rachel, dispatcher at the WSS Trucking Center. We are now hiring drivers of all experience levels. Drive late model equipment with guaranteed work. Home daily. We have hundreds of unfulfilled contracts available every day. Pay starts at $3,300 per contract and can include slots bonuses. So come see me at the WSS Trucking Center on a server near you. Do it. Because we say so.
Okay, now I got to ask about diatomaceous earth. That just sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It's a funny name, right? But it's totally natural. It's made of, get this, fossilized remains of these tiny, tiny aquatic creatures, diatoms.
Hold on. So something that was once alive is now used to control pests. How does that even work?
So these diatom skeletons, they're incredibly sharp, but like on a microscopic level, you know? When an insect crawls over it, it basically shreds their exoskeletons and they dehydrate and die. Brutal, but effective.
It's like those intricate patterns you see under a microscope. They're like tiny blades to these bugs.
Exactly. Death by a thousand cuts, but for pests. And the cool thing is, it's a mechanical thing, not chemical, so they're less likely to develop resistance.
That is amazing. And yeah, a little brutal if we're being honest, but yeah. I guess it's a good reminder that nature has its own way of keeping things in check.
Absolutely. And the more we learn from nature, the more we find these new amazing ways to protect our food while keeping things, you know, sustainable. It's all about adapting, always adapting.
It really is amazing when you think about it. Something as simple as like fossilized algae can be that powerful. But I guess that's the theme, huh? Finding those elegant solutions in nature. But, you know, I got to be honest, as we've been kind of going through this, exploring all these different ways to handle pests, a question's been popping into my head. Can organic methods really truly cut it on a large scale? Like, can we feed the whole planet with companion planting and neem oil?
The million-dollar question, right? And it's not an easy answer, sadly. There's no simple yes or no. Organic farming, it's got a lot going for it. Environmentally friendly, good for biodiversity. Often the food just tastes better, you know. But it's true. It can be more labor intensive. That means potential for smaller yields, food costs more.
Yeah.
Got to weigh that.
So it's a trade-off then. We're really weighing like the planet's health, the quality of the food against how efficient it is, how affordable it's going to be for everyone.
You got it. And it's key to remember every farm, every situation is different. What works like a charm on a small organic farm might not make sense for a huge operation that's got to feed, you know, thousands of people. Context is everything. What are the specific challenges? It's about finding that sweet spot.
No one size fits all kind of deal, huh? It's about like really looking at the situation and picking the best approach. And maybe sometimes that even means combining traditional and organic, right?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Adapt and innovate. That's the name of the game. And speaking of innovation, there's this whole other side to pest control we haven't even touched on. Genetically engineered crops, they're changing everything.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was reading about that in one of those articles. Scientists they're making crops that are like naturally resistant to certain pests. Could be huge for reducing pesticide use.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of opening up a can of worms too?
It's a double-edged sword for sure. Genetically engineered crops, they hold a ton of promise, no doubt. But there are these ethical questions, environmental considerations, long-term effects on biodiversity. What are the unintended consequences? Even who controls the food supply? It gets complicated fast.
Yeah, that is a lot to unpack. Wow. From like tiny little nematodes causing huge problems to the potential of genetically engineered crops. Pest control is way more complex than I think I ever realized. Started as a simple question, how do we protect our food? And it's become this whole thing about interconnected challenges and new discoveries.
It's a fascinating field, that's for sure.
It is. And I think what we've learned today is easy answers. They don't really exist. But understanding the science behind it all, the trade-offs, the fact that people are out there researching this constantly, that's what matters. Helps us all make better choices about what we eat, about the future we're creating.
Couldn't agree more. Knowledge is power.
Right. So next time you bite into like a delicious apple or you're enjoying a salad, just take a second to think about the balance that farmers are trying to strike. They're on the front lines working so hard to make sure we've got food, but also that we protect the planet for the future. It's a responsibility we all share.
I look out. kiss the smoke on the Cumberland. And the fireflies at midnight. And the color of the leaves in the fall.
So, like, have you ever found yourself just stuck in the produce aisle, like, completely bewildered by how much more expensive that organic apple is than the regular one?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like this daily dilemma, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, am I doing the right thing? And judging by all this research you sent over, sounds like you're on a mission to unpack this whole organic versus traditional food fight.
Yeah, definitely something I think about a lot.
It's amazing, though, how huge the organic market has become.
Yeah.
One of these articles said almost a third of people in the U.S. are buying organic now. So it's not just a small group anymore. People are actually changing how they shop.
It seems like it. Yeah. And what I find really interesting is why that change is happening. It's not just the latest health thing. It's more like deeper values, I think.
Yeah.
Like this research suggests people care about things like fewer pesticides, supporting farming that's better for the planet, and even their own ethics about food, like how animals are treated.
So it's almost as if organic has just become the same as good when it comes to food for a lot of people. Mm. But do the facts actually back that up? You know, and is it really always worth the extra money? Because honestly, those organic apples can make your grocery bill go way up.
Right. And your research really digs into that price difference. One article even broke it down, like labor costs, organic farms having smaller harvests because they can't use certain fertilizers, and the whole process of getting certified, all that adds up.
Right.
It makes sense when you think about it. Organic farming often means smaller farms, more hands-on work, and natural ways to control pests, which takes more time and effort. It's kind of like comparing handmade furniture to the stuff made in a factory. Mm-hmm. The handmade pieces might be gorgeous and one of a kind, but all that care comes with a higher price tag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense why organic apples cost more.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you are willing to spend more, maybe even cut back somewhere else to make it work. Does that mean you're actually getting something different, like healthier food, more nutritious?
That is the question, isn't it?
Right.
And your research has some clues. Like one study found organic tomatoes had way more lycopene, that's an antioxidant, than regular ones. And it's linked to a healthy heart.
Hmm. So that thing where people say organic tastes better, maybe there's something to it. Or maybe it's more like organic is better for you on the inside.
It could be. We have to be careful, though, because the research isn't totally clear yet. It's still a pretty new area of study.
Right.
And like one of your articles said, for people who can barely afford food or are on a tight budget, those possible benefits might not be enough if organic is just too expensive.
That's a really good point. You're right. It's easy to get caught up in thinking organic is always better. But there's a lot more to it, especially when you think about if people can even find and afford organic food.
Exactly. And it's not like this research is saying organic is perfect and traditional farming is all bad. It actually points out some good things about traditional farming, too.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's a more balanced view.
Right. Like one of the biggest pluses is just how much cheaper it is.
Right. That's a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah. Because of those big farms and efficient ways they do things, traditional farming can make food that doesn't cost as much, so more people can afford it.
Right. Affordability is huge.
Mm.
I mean, every time I'm at the store, I'm thinking about prices. But beyond cost, what else did the research say was good about traditional farming?
Well, one thing is just being able to find the food. Traditional farming is really good at making a lot of food, which means you can find it almost anywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I never thought of it like that. You just assume you can always get whatever food you want.
Right. And we can't forget about technology. Traditional farming has used some really cool advancements, like ways to farm that use less water and fertilizer and new ways to control pests and diseases.
Today's podcast brought to you in part by the Tahitian County Sheriff's Department. TCS reminds you to buckle up and think safety first. It's important to maintain your equipment regardless of ownership. Keep in mind that vehicle maintenance must be above 50% to be considered roadworthy. Keep an eye out for slower moving tractors on unpaved county roads. Stay safe out there, and remember, if you see something, say something. Also, Tuesdays are fine. A cop a donut day at Dunkin' Donuts. Just saying.
So it sounds like there isn't one perfect answer here. It's not as simple as saying organic is good and traditional is bad. It's more about understanding all the different sides, what's good and bad about each one, and how everything is connected.
That's a great way to put it. And that's why it's important to move past this idea of us versus them and try to see the whole picture. A few articles pointed towards combining the best parts of both types of farming as a possible way forward.
Combining the best parts, huh? Sounds like we're trying to get the best of both worlds. What would that even look like?
Well, imagine if we could take the best parts of both organic and traditional farming, kind of like cherry picking, you know, like maybe we start using integrated pest management more. That's where you use natural ways to get rid of pests and only use the stronger stuff if you absolutely have to. It's all about getting the best results, but with less impact on the environment.
Yeah, like finding that balance, right? We can't just forget all the stuff that's helped us grow enough food for everyone. But maybe we can be smarter about how we use it.
Exactly. And it's not just about pests. Some articles were talking about regenerative agriculture. It's this whole approach that focuses on making the soil healthy again, having a variety of plants and animals, and improving the water cycle. It's like taking care of the whole system, not just trying to get the most crops.
So it's not just about keeping things sustainable. It's about actually making things better, almost like starting over with agriculture.
It's a big change in how we think about it. And it makes you wonder, what about us, the people buying the food? What's our role in all this? I mean, we're the ones choosing what we eat every day.
That's true. What we buy at the store really matters. So what did those articles say about being a smarter shopper?
Well, some of them said we need to look beyond just the labels and actually understand what they mean. Like, knowing what a certification really stands for can make a big difference. Like, USDA organic, that label has strict rules, but something that just says natural, that might not mean much.
It's like you have to learn how to really read those labels, like a secret code.
Exactly. And it's more than just labels. Finding out where your food actually comes from is important too. Like shopping at your local farmer's market or joining one of those community gardens. Those are great ways to support the people growing your food. Plus, it can be a cheaper way to get fresh local food that's often grown in a more sustainable way.
I love that. It's like you're not just buying food, you're part of something bigger.
Yeah.
So being a thoughtful shopper is key.
Spinning, can't push the elite. Morning
Anything else that stood out to you in the research? Anything that surprised you?
One thing that was interesting was how much they talked about not wasting food. It might not seem related to organic versus traditional, but it's really important for sustainability. If you think about it, if you throw food away, it doesn't matter how it was grown, all that land, water, and energy they used to grow it is wasted too.
It's like being careful about what you waste is something everyone can do.
Right. And the good news is there's a lot of easy ways to waste less food. Planning your meals, storing food properly, being creative with leftovers, even just paying attention to those expiration dates and actually eating what you buy can help a lot.
So we've talked about a lot today. We looked at organic and traditional farming, talked about how they impact the environment, how healthy they are, and even what we can do as shoppers. If you had to leave our listeners with just one thing to think about, what would it be?
That's a tough one, but I think it would be this. Instead of trying to find the perfect way to grow food, what if we focused on creating a system that works better for everyone? A system that's good for the planet, makes sure everyone has enough healthy food they can afford, and where we grow a variety of different foods. It's a big challenge, but it's a really important conversation to have.
Totally agree. It's a conversation that goes beyond just labels and buzzwords. We have to think for ourselves, question what we hear, and really talk about what we want the future of food to look like. It sounds like this deep dive into the research wasn't just about learning some new facts. It was about looking at our food in a whole new way. Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
GFSN Podcast Radio. We hope you have enjoyed this special edition of Farm Talk with Leland and Olivia. We hope you learned something new. In this podcast, bio-based products for organic farming were mentioned, and we are pleased to announce that we have brought that real-life product to our virtual world. Bio-fertilizer and bio-herbicides will soon be available. That does it for today. Happy farming.